weeks after 9/11, people were saying that verse, "My tears have been my food." While they say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go along with the throng and lead them in possession to the house of God with the voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. And then I don't have this scripture up here, but out of Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 and 24 says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him." So what we're going to do this morning is we are going to look at three different aspects. And as I said, no need to take notes, but this is just very easy for you to remember. But first off, we're going to look back. And I want to remember maybe some of those things that just went in that brief video. Maybe you forgot about the Pentagon. They didn't even mention the plane that went down in the field in Pennsylvania. Perhaps you forgot some of that. But I want you to share, what are some of your memories of that morning in 2001? It was a Tuesday. And I have a lot of thoughts in my mind, but I don't want to share my thoughts. So I want you to share, what were some of the things that you remember about 9/11 of 2001? Where were you? What was the first thing that went to your mind? I'd like to have a number of you share. So who'd be first?
I happened to be working on a new house roof, and we had seen a bright light in the sky when the plane wrecked above Pennsylvania. And the earth literally shook. And of course, at that moment, it's like, what's really happening to us as a country? But more than that, how volatile we are, and that distance away of what we feel are repercussions standing here.
What else? Where did you have to go that day? Do you remember? Where did you have to go anywhere that day when you got?
Went to the armor.
Okay. Nancy?
I had been sleeping and got a phone call from my son who said that we're being attacked. And when I turned on TV, I couldn't believe it. I just was in total shock thinking about all those people that were losing their life.
Hmm.
Thing at that time.
Sure.
You know, of course, you know, just trying to, like, being the lioness, wanting to protect my family and have them with me because you didn't know what was happening or going on.
Right. Other.
Yes, I just knew Pennsylvania residents at that time. And my son used to, he had a job where he left Park Ridge where I live. And when he would come up, New York, he came up at those towers, that's where the train stopped. And that morning when he called me and said, "Mom, turn on the TV," I did, and I praised God that he didn't have that job anymore.
Mm.
State Building, which we like to take a ride up there and sit, and we looked out and we saw the
Yeah.
About that time, the second plane hit. And I can remember everybody just stopping and not knowing what to say. They got quiet. I think about that point, we were under attack. Within half hour of talking to that, then one hit the Pentagon.
Yep. Right.
It's still dark out there. And you just, what in the world was going on? But I think it was a wake-up call. And you still have to be able to notice it.
Yep. We noticed it that first week. Remember, there was one of the videos I was going to show showed all the politicians standing on the Capitol steps singing "God Bless America" and praying for our country. That lasted, that lasted just a short time, didn't it? Cheryl and I had a time set up. One of our girls that we were really close to, their family, she was getting ready to leave on Wednesday to go to Cedarville for her freshman year. And Kristen was supposed to come to our house about 11. We were going to go out to lunch with her. And I was in my office at church. And Family Life Ministries was playing in the background of my office. And they broke in and said that a plane had hit the first Twin Tower. And really didn't think a whole lot about it. A few minutes later, the phone rang. And my secretary called and said, "It's Cheryl." So I picked it up. And she goes, "Ron, I'm just watching the Today Show. And a second plane crashed." I said, "Get out." And then as soon as I said that, FLM broke into the song. And Randy Snavely said, "We believe we're under attack. Just watch the second plane attack or hit the Twin Tower." So I left and ran home and just wanted to watch it. And Kristen called and said, "Are we still going to be able to go out to lunch?" Because I don't know what to think. Her dad was a teacher in school. Both mom and dad were teachers. And she was home alone packing up. And I said, "Yeah, Kristen, we're going to go out." So we had lunch with her and just remembered she got to our house just before the second tower fell. And we went out for lunch that afternoon and got back, and my secretary said, "Ron, you have call after call after call." And Victory Highway Wesleyan Church, about 7 or 8 different churches and youth groups called and just wanted to know if they could just meet with us the next night for youth group. And we had about 150 to 200 teens fill our sanctuary, and we just talked about that, just talked about what happened the day before. And teens were confused. Teens were scared. Adults were scared. We had no idea what was going on, but we just had a great evening of prayer and just talking about what we talked about a few years ago. Where was God? Did God care? Does God know? Was God aware of what was going on? Well, as I said, 5 years ago, we were blessed to have the first responders here. And I don't want to get real political here. I don't know if you saw the letter. It's gone viral now, of a police officer who wrote to Colin Kaepernick about his freedom to not stand up during the national anthem. And it was just a powerful, powerful letter that he wrote. Just reminding this football player of the uniform he wore. And this guy said, "I wear a different uniform." He said, "Yeah, I've seen you get hurt, and you've had people run out in the field and just take care of you within seconds." He said, "I've watched brothers get shot in the streets and have to wait 10 or 15 minutes before before an ambulance can get to us. So we wear a different uniform, and maybe your career is more important than mine." But he said, "I want you to know that people die so you can play that game that you're playing." I'm just thankful this morning for the real heroes, men and women who, if you've served, raise your hand, stand up. If you've served in our armed forces or served as a police officer or first responder in any way, just stand up, would you? If a fireman, we really are grateful. So thank you. Those are the real heroes. And I don't know, Max, you probably didn't make as much as Colin Kaepernick in his career as a military man. But these are the real heroes that save our country and put their life on the line for our country every day. It's good for us to remember our past. It's good for us to remember the blessings that God has given us so many times over the year. And when we looked at the story, remember we did the story about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, really looking at Genesis to Revelation. We looked each week at different parts of the story. And we said at this point that history really is his story. I remember in a Bible college, my Old Testament theology professor first said that's the first time I'd heard it. I'm sure that statement's been around for years, but he said history really is his story. So it's good for us to look back. It's good for us to remember 9/11. It's good for us to remember World War I, World War II, what happened in Vietnam. It's good for us to remember the things that happened in our nation's past. And as you think back at 9/11, I want you to remember that God was there. And that's how we answered that question. Where was God on 9/11? God was where he is today. He's on his throne. He wasn't taken by surprise. He wasn't caught unaware. He didn't say, oh, I didn't see that plane about to come. There's another one. I didn't see that either. God allowed that. God permitted that. Some people believe that he was giving America another chance to repent. I don't know if that's the case or not, but he certainly did open our eyes for a short time. But it's led to a whole new world of terrorism. It's led to a whole new realm of attack on Christians. And that's what we can see in the past. But I want you to understand, God is still in control. I want you to spend some time now. We're going to look. Hit that page. It's not working for me. Just hit the down button. We're going to look around. Is it frozen? There it goes. All right. We're going to look around. And I want you to think with me again. How has the world changed in 15 years? I mentioned some of the new terminology and vocabulary words that we use, but how has the world changed in those 15 years? And I want you, again, I'm just ask you to share some of these thoughts, but are there more or less wars? The Bible certainly warns of that. We can see heightened security everywhere we go. But have we changed emotionally? I remember, and I mentioned this a few years ago, Dana Plummer was a fourth or fifth grade teacher. She was a black woman from our church, a godly, godly lady. And she came into my office about 3:15 in the afternoon on Tuesday, and she just came in just crying. And just like she had said, she thought they'd release the kids as soon as it happened, but they said, no, we want to keep in lockdown until the parents can get here at the time when school's over. And she just came in just sobbing, and she goes, what an emotionally draining day. She said they wouldn't let the kids go, but they brought in televisions and showed the kids what was going on. And she said how hard that was for fifth graders to see it. But to think about the emotional impact of children as a result of that day. Think about the emotional impact on us, and then take it down a little bit. They're always going to have that sense of insecurity. They're always going to know the name of Al-Qaeda. They're always going to know the name of ISIS. They're always going to see continuous scenes of ISIS killing and beheading Christians on the beaches. That's common to them. They're always going to know what radical Islam is. They're never going to have this sense of security again. But maybe most of them are too young unless they see it on a video somewhere of President Bush standing up. And I can tell you, I was so, so thankful. And again, I don't want to be political in this, but I was so thankful that it was President Bush and not Al Gore who was the president at that time. Because I'm not sure the military would have backed Al Gore or the things that he had, comments that he had made. But I was so thankful to see a president who understood Christianity, whether you think he was a Christian or not. But to be there and then to be out in the streets of New York City and just saying, this is what our country's standing for. But I remember he stood for America's security. And he said, America is going to fight back. We have a president now who travels the world and apologizes for everything America's ever done. So I want you to look around and I want you to think, how has the world changed in those 15 years? Our young people today now fear anyone who's different than them. And I want you to answer some of these questions and think of some of these things with me. How has the world changed? Are we more or less open-minded? Are we more or less open to the gospel? Are we more or less, do we have more or less racial and international tension? Do we have more or less people concerned for the future? Are we more or less trusting than we were 15 years ago? Are we more or less loving? What are some of your thoughts on what has happened? What has changed in the last 15 years? You don't have to raise your hand. Just talk. What have you seen change since this day of 9/11/01? What's that? Everything is worse. It always has been ungodly and immoral, right? But
I think that God used this to open our eyes to the country because our eyes are not.
Amen.
And as things have happened since then, man tries to do everything within his power. The stone rains are now coming down on us. Man's power. We are losing our freedoms and liberty left and right, and we don't even know it as a Christian nation. And there's one thing in my life, when I see it, God allows us to go through it. He's put it there for a purpose. God help us see and understand that purpose. And I believe that purpose is that we focus on Him because we are living in the latter days.
Amen.
And Lord, help us put our trust in You in everything.
And I think that's answering his question. He said, where was it now? You know, that stuff that original 9/11, we kind of got on our face and kind of humbled ourselves. Where is it now? It's because we didn't see God in that. We thought the answer was, you know, defeating them militarily. We need a strong military, but we've turned our back on God. Someone else. Exactly right.
Everything's changed, yes, it's upsetting, and I worry about my grandkids, I worry about the salvation of the world, and make sure they're Christians.
That's exactly right. That's what I wanted to close this section with, was looking around, is just what Russ was saying, is we need to remind ourselves, as well as encourage everyone else here and other believers, that we're really, this isn't our home, that our future is going to be far different than what our past has been. Our future is going to be far different than what our present is. We can look back and see God's provision. We can look back and see how the world has drastically changed and not for the better. We can look around and say, how much worse can it get? And we can say it can get much, much worse. And it's going to continue to get worse until Christ comes. And that's what I want to close with this morning as we look ahead. Someone has said this, and you probably heard this statement, I don't know what holds tomorrow or what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. And that's the hope of the believer. That's what I want to encourage you with this morning as we come to this 15th anniversary. I can tell you I don't know what the future holds for my family. I don't know what the future holds for me as a person, as a pastor. But I know what my eternal life is going to be. I don't even know everything about that, but I know it's going to be with the one who loved me, the one who died for me. I can't tell you what heaven's going to be like. And I can't tell you what the new earth is going to look like. But I can tell you that it's going to go far beyond anything we can imagine. All of our hopes, all of our dreams, all of our wildest thoughts, I can only imagine, as the song says. It's going to be beyond our comprehension in the perfect setting of peace, the perfect setting of tranquility, the perfect setting of the presence of our Savior. I don't necessarily, when I think about heaven, I certainly don't picture harps sitting on a cloud. I mean, harp music, I guess, is okay. I don't know that I'd want to play one. But I don't picture harps in clouds of you know, floating around. I picture being in the presence of God, being in the presence of the Savior, the Holy Spirit who indwells me, the Savior who died for me, and showing me his hands and his feet and saying, this is what it cost me to get you here. I picture laying my crowns down and just worshiping and just crying. You know, when I think about 9/11, I watch some of those images, I can get teary-eyed. But when I think about just standing in the presence of God and just saying, holy, holy, holy is the one who's so worthy. Can you imagine that? Isn't that going to be a great day? Isn't that going to be awesome as we look ahead? And I want you to think about this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, that is written, these things, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which has not entered the heart of man. We can't even begin to imagine is what that's saying. All that God has prepared for those who love him. Before Cheryl and I went to the beach back at the end of July, the first couple weeks in August, we were sitting on our back porch and it was just a nice, cooler summer evening. And it was probably about 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, and the light was still, you know, still light until about 9:15 back at that point. And I just looked at Cheryl and I said, man, what a beautiful area we live in. I've heard Russ say this, many of you have said it, but if you just come down sometime, sit on our back porch and just look out over the cornfield and down the valley here and just see the beauty. And I love the fall and I'm looking forward to the changing of the leaves and the beauty of that. but I said to Cheryl, I said, I just love this scene. I said, you know what? I'm looking forward to this. I think 2 days before we left, and I said, you know what? I'm also looking forward to the beach. I love the beach. And I said, this time next week, we're going to be at the beach and just looking out and just seeing as far as the eye can see, just ocean. And I just said, it's a different, completely different type of beauty, the mountains and the ocean, but that's our Savior. It's the one who created us, created this. And I said, he makes things so different. I said, can't you just wait to get to heaven? And I just was thinking about how beautiful it is. I don't know everything that heaven's going to be, but I do know that he's good. I do know that he was on the throne on 9/11. I know that he's on the throne 15 years later. I know he's powerful. I know he's in control. And when those planes flew into the World Trade Center, God wasn't sleeping. He wasn't caught by surprise. He wasn't blindsided. In his wisdom, in his sovereignty, in his perfect will, he allowed that day to come. And he's allowed each day to come before 9/11. He's allowed each day to come in the 15 years since. But he rules from his throne. And when we pray, I want you to know he hears you. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he hears you when you pray. And I just want you to just imagine that soon that we're going to be in the throne room where all of our prayers over the years and all the prayers of all the saints before us have gone. And we're going to be entering into that throne room. I thought how neat it would be to sit in the White House, in the Oval Office, and just to think about how many presidents have served there. But imagine being in the presence of the God who created all that. We're going to close. Julie sent me a song the other day. I had another song in mind to close with. I don't know if you saw. I posted it on Facebook. But I think it's brand new. It's a Ray Stevens song, and it's called Dear America. And I want you to listen to this. There's no captioning for it. But it's just a beautiful, beautiful song. And he talks about knowing the one who loved us. And he's talking about Christ here. So just listen to this. Mark, if you can get the lights for us, just so people can see this. And then Russ, come up and close us out.
Dear America, I promise you I'll teach my children of your freedom and your grace, and of the founding fathers' wisdom in the writings that they made. Dear America, I won't let them forget the sacrifice that your men and women made, and that our flag still flies from the dying breath they gave. Dear America, no, I won't back down from our enemies, and I'll gain my strength by praying on my knees, and I trust in the one who has always kept us free. This I promise you, till all my days are through, dear America. My word that I will not forget that dark September day when we learned that others hate us and it took our breath away. Dear America, no, I won't forget the families who hold a photograph and a thousand vivid memory and a neatly folded flag. Dear America, no, I won't back down from our enemies, and I'll gain my strength from praying on my knees, and I'll trust in the one who has always kept us free. This I promise you, till all my days are through, dear America. I pledge my sacred honor, I pledge my fortune too, and if they come back next time, they'll have to go to get to you. This I promise you.
Song. But what I would like to invite you, I have a couple of Sunday school lessons planned, but if you didn't plan on staying for Sunday school,